Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hi, welcome to it. Emmanuel Sanders had surgery today. Looked fine. He posted some pictures and was encouraging in terms of the fans for coming back and making that return. But, hey, Riverside, right? You got to move on, next man up, all that sort of stuff. I did want to point out something, Al.
Before, go ahead.
There is something's going on with Tremaine Brock.
I think something was going on with Pac-Man Jones.
And here's where you're going to have to listen carefully, but I'm going to go through this, and you got to read between the lines here. Here is Vance Joseph talking about Tremaine Brock.
Well, he hadn't practiced in 2 days, you know, so I'm assuming he's not going to go. And that's okay. You know, next man up. When he's healthy, he'll play again. But right now, we're focused on the Niners and the guys who practice today.
I'm going to play it one more time because it's very subtle. But I want you to read between the lines here.
Well, he hadn't practiced in 2 days, you know, so I'm assuming he's not going to go. And that's okay. You know, next man up. When he's healthy, he'll play again. But right now, we're focused on the Niners and the guys who practice today.
Did you hear it?
What did you hear? Because I heard him.
Well, I know what I heard.
What I heard is a coach who's frustrated because his cornerback didn't practice the last 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't practice for the last 2 days. It almost implies that he could have practiced, but he didn't.
There you go. There you go. That's it. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like when the head coach thinks you could be out there and you're not. That's exactly what it sounds like. When he believes you're injured, it sounds completely different. And I don't have something off the top of my tip of my fingers to give you.
The injury report has been released, but
I'll play it one more time for you.
Well, he hadn't practiced in 2 days, you know, so I'm assuming he's not going to go. And that's okay. You know, next man up. When he's healthy, he'll play again. But right now, we're focused on the Niners and the guys who practice today.
That's the death blow at the end. I'm going to focus on the guys that practice today.
We're trying to get this guy to play, but he won't play.
I've heard it before. The only reason I know that is because it's been years of hearing stuff like that. That is how coaches talk about players they think should be practicing and aren't. We heard lots of rumors and stuff with Julius Thomas back in the days. And Al, some players have a distrust of their evaluation or what's really going on, and coaches don't always believe it. Meanwhile, you see Derek Wolfe out there practicing, and sometimes it's, are you willing to take the shot or not? Why don't you explain that, if you're willing to take the shot or not?
It's not necessarily about taking the shot for some guys. Some guys just know that.
Yeah, but what does that mean, though?
Well, a shot is, I think, is there are medications that are involved in a shot that could relieve pain and get you back into the action. What medications? I don't know, but there are plenty of them out there that could help you out if your intent was to relieve the pain so you can practice.
How many guys take a shot to practice?
Oh, you should never. Okay, to play is one deal. To practice is something totally different. Because certainly I've had, you know, my share of those shots when I needed to play, but to practice, no. Try to gut it out to practice, and then you gut it out to practice, and then you take the shot Saturday morning or Saturday midday or whatever it is, and then hopefully you'll feel great the next morning.
Well, all right. How are players looked upon if they don't take the shot and they don't play? By other players.
By other players, it looks like it looks like you could have played and you didn't. And it's just that easy for guys.
And they're regarded as what?
Not 100% in.
Think Tremaine Brock's 100% in?
I think Tremaine Brock should do what Tremaine Brock wants to do, because his career is based on a 1-year deal. If he thinks that he's going to go out there and injure things that are going to limit him from playing further going forward, then he probably shouldn't play. But if he thinks that if the coach thinks that he's being overly cautious, well, then that's the coach's job to do that. But as a player, nobody has your back.
Tremaine Brock, when I heard that today, I was like, okay.
He's on a 1-year deal, D-Mac.
He's on an island by himself.
Yeah, and you know.
Player, he's not really connected. He was only here for a year. He definitely won't be coming back next year. And the coach doesn't think he's really all that hurt. That's the way I took it. After covering the NFL for 25 years and hearing coach speak, that's how I took that. There's little ways to read between the lines on stuff like that. And for VJ to more or less rule him out for the game on Thursday, nobody does that.
See, I never had that problem because I love practice. I used to love to practice because I could work on my stuff. When you're a pass rusher, you're a little bit of an artist, right? You're setting guys up. You're seeing this thing on video that you want to try yourself, and you want to see if it works in real life. I took that stuff seriously because I played in an era with great pass rushers, so I wanted to try their stuff in practice and see what worked and what didn't. So I have no reference point to that. I played on one of the greatest football teams in the history of the NFL, and we all loved each other, and we still talk today. I mean, I just talked to three or four of my teammates this week, you know, so we were accountable to each other. But when you are a one-year guy under contract, you know you've been brought in here almost as a mercenary of some sorts athletically. You have to do what's necessary to put out good film and only good film so that when you hit the free agent market, that's the only thing that they have.
I don't know a whole lot about Tremaine Brock. He does have, by the way, he does have an incident of domestic violence in his past, by the way. But after hearing that, when I heard that earlier today, that's a guy who the coach is not on board with. So whatever happens in the future most likely happens without that player. And maybe we should pay more attention, Al, to things behind the scenes that perhaps show guys have questionable character. It's because maybe it is a predictor of the way they'll act in the future. Tremaine Brock, dude's out the door.
He's out the door, but that doesn't mean that, you know, D-Mac, he doesn't have a serious enough injury he deems serious enough for him to stay out of practice. Listen, man, coaches do what coaches do. And as a player, all you can do is go out and give the best effort you can give while preserving the body that you have, because it's the only moneymaker that you have in pro football.
When we come,
so don't make him a villain, because
I'm not making
the
him
coach
villain.
Sounds like he's making a making
the coach. I didn't the coach do it.
Sounds,
the coach did.
The coach sounds like he's frustrated with a player for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is, but I always say that when it comes to the players, if they don't look after themselves without guaranteed contracts, well, who is? The coaches certainly don't.
If VJ really believed in him, it would be he's dealing with the injury. We're hoping he plays this Sunday. It's what he got was we're coaching the guys who are out there, and he didn't play practice the past couple of days, so I guess he won't play on Sunday.
Right? Maybe you don't
it's
think
a
he
totally
it,
different thing.
Gutted it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Maybe that's part of the process. But dude, I mean, you got to understand this world, man. This world is not one of luxuries. It's one of heartache and injury and playing in elements that aren't necessarily the greatest. So you sign up for that, but as a 1-year guy playing under contract, you know that you're out of here next year. You got to find a better situation. You don't want to hurt yourself even further. You don't want to go out there and tear up an Achilles like when you just saw one of your great teammates and Emmanuel Sanders do
the
same thing.
By the way, did you notice they practiced inside today?
Mm.
After on a pretty nice day. Think that was a coincidence? This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Hey, did anybody just catch Chad Kelly throwing shade at Peyton Manning? I kid you not.
Really?
Yeah. How about this?
What happened?
Well, you know how Peyton does his
quarterback count?
Detail. It's called Detail on ESPN Plus. It's a subscription-based thing. Yeah. So here's some audio of it.
On this episode of Detail, we'll take a look at Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Just watch it pre-snap. It looks like a pretty standard zone coverage. It looks like quarter halves. A lot of defenses and offenses refer to it as cover eight. I have no idea why it's called cover eight. Why is nickel five defensive backs?
Huddle up now. We got nickel defense.
And dime six defensive backs.
Dime!
Quarter is seven defensive backs. Go figure on that one, right? Why is it 25? Why is it dime 10? But that's just football math for you. But anyway, it looks like cover eight. Watch the snap. Boom. The corner is...
All right, and he goes through the thing that you can't see, so I'm not going to keep it on radio. But you can see how Manning emphasized cover eight. Cover eight. I've never heard cover eight before, Al. Have you heard of cover eight before?
No.
Okay. Well, here's what Chad Kelly put out on Twitter. Chad Kelly put this out on Twitter about an hour ago. Looks like that's cover six, not eight. Pretty sure the strength tight end is down at the bottom of a 3x1, which is quarter halves equal cover six. Chad Kelly is debating Peyton Manning on his definition of the defense that he's looking at. Have you ever heard of cover six?
Of course.
Okay. So, is Chad Kelly right?
I don't know the play. I don't. But how Peyton calls it versus what somebody else calls it is it's all semantics. You know what I mean? It's like saying that, you know, we talked about this in great detail when Wade Phillips said that he doesn't blitz.
Well, how do you like...
No, hold on.
Okay.
We're going to use this example because to everybody who understands football, anytime you bring somebody that's not a defensive lineman, it's considered a...
Blitz.
It's considered a blitz. They call it a pressure. Okay? Blitzes are designed to get a free runner at the quarterback. Which means that if they block with six, you bring seven. So there's nobody. Hold on. Once again, if you call it, you know, Wade Phillips blitzing when he sends five or six, and Wade says, well, it's not blitzing to us. It's just a pressure defense with man free. Well, he's right. But those who have watched it traditionally will all be also be right by calling it a blitz.
So what do you think of Chad Kelly, who's not in the league right now? And he could be. Anybody could sign him. By the way, Chad Kelly has not received any form of punishment by the NFL. Everybody realizes that, right?
I think his punishment only happens when he's on a roster.
And, well, there has been no punishment.
He's not given, on the roster.
No, the NFL can, he's still an active NFL player. He could get fined or punished. Mark Sanchez got tagged for PEDs and he wasn't on a roster.
I know, but we don't know what the, okay, go ahead.
I mean, I'm right about that, right? He got a four-game suspension for PEDs. But there's nothing that's happened. By the way, do not be surprised if there are never any charges filed against Chad Kelly and this thing never goes to court. Do not be surprised by that. But nobody's picking him up. But here's Chad Kelly on Twitter, like, kind of second-guessing the analysis of Peyton Manning.
He calls it something different than Peyton Manning calls it.
What do you think about that? What Chad Kelly sort of putting himself out there like that?
Yeah, it's fine. No big deal. But what Peyton sees versus what Chad Kelly sees, once again, we may be talking about semantics.
I'm just talking about a guy who's been bounced out of the league.
You know what?
Compared to the greatest guy of all time. You know, it's
who's the greatest guy of all time?
Quarterback.
Who?
One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Oh, okay. One of the greatest.
Sorry.
Okay.
I think you know what I meant.
You called him the greatest quarterback of all time.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks.
I just think
laser, it's... rocket arm.
Thank you, Peyton. I don't know. Am I the only one that finds this kind of funny? Chad Kelly throwing shade on Peyton Manning? Nobody else gets the kind of the nobody else is kind of laughing at that?
I've seen guys break things down on video, on television. I said that's not what it is. And just... You know, I never replied on social media. I just don't do it.
Why is Chad Kelly not on anybody's NFL team?
Because he's not that good.
Wow. Chad Kelly isn't getting tryouts with the Redskins or anybody else.
Because his
attitude... Chad Kelly is just not that good.
His attitude matched up with his offense means he's not that good. He's not good enough to overcome his offense.
So is it a wrap for Chad Kelly?
It is until he goes to the Canadian Football League and plays there and shows that he can be a responsible quarterback and ready to move on. I think he can play, but he's like most young quarterback. You need reps to play, and he just cost himself in a way that is just unbelievable. Like he did something that I couldn't believe because he was next in line.
What did he do?
He just put himself in a bad situation.
Like, really, what did he do?
He put himself in a terrible situation and made the team make a decision about something that they shouldn't have been making a decision about.
But is what he did just extraordinarily wrong?
Or did he have and walking into somebody else's house?
Yeah.
Yeah. For a guy who is the last pick in the NFL draft, yes. If it was Bradley Chubb who did it, you'd have to say, hey, don't ever do that again. And keep moving, but when you're the last pick of the draft, man, you can't do that.
He wasn't breaking into the house. He wasn't.
Dude, I don't know what happened. I'm just saying he walked into somebody's
house. We all know what happened. He
walked into somebody's house that wasn't his.
He was out of his mind
down.
For some reason. Yeah. Okay. That's not kind of funny? No? Am I missing something? Maybe I am.
I don't know. I just think about all the things that could have happened bad for him that night.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that.
So... not really funny to me. I mean, I would be.
Isn't that a story? If you're sitting,
one of my sons were in a position where they walked into somebody's house and they'll tell him what could have happened.
Yeah,
I would be terrified.
If you're around with
not
your
funny.
Buddies at the barbershop and that story came up and one of your buddies did that, wouldn't everybody be laughing?
No, because everybody say, hey, man, he could have got lit up.
Okay.
I don't know where it's funny besides.
You don't know where it's funny. He's dressed up as Woody from Toy Story.
Oh, well.
He's a quarterback of the Broncos.
It's funny in the movies.
He got beaten by a vacuum cleaner tube. He got shushed out of the house with a vacuum cleaner tube.
I forgot about the dressed as Woody. I forgot about that part.
You don't think there's some funny elements there?
In the movie, yeah.
I mean, it feels like a scene out of, like, Friends or something.
It's just so bizarre, though. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
But we found out that it wasn't the first offense. It wasn't the first time it's happened. Many reports.
Are there? Do you know that for a fact?
Let's just say it wasn't the first time.
Give me another time.
Let's just say it wasn't the year before.
What happened?
Same party. Similar incident, but he didn't walk into somebody's house.
But he got out of control. Wow.
Out of control.
This is some breaking news here.
Wasn't the first time.
Okay. I hadn't heard that before. You don't like Chad Kelly?
I just don't think that you can do the things that he did and have an NFL career as a quarterback.
I mean,
if it was a linebacker, maybe. But, you know, that guy's talking to the media almost every day, and he represents your team. He represents your city. You can't be in that situation, man. He just put himself in a bad situation for a guy who was, you know, living on the edge.
We're thinking about the Niners in a different sort of way. We'll dig into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Michelle, fight for that white gold.
Yeah.
This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling.
Get down to the 49ers here in a second, but Brian, you're on the fan. Hi, Brian. What's up?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Wanted to comment on the Chad Kelly situation. I mean, Big Al's been saying it for weeks. He wasn't that good. I mean, we all know the real reason he was given a chance to bounce back from his previous issues was because of his uncle. Right, but he proved with the most recent incident that he hasn't matured to a level for anybody to buy into him. So I think Big Al's absolutely right. Not that good, and he also proved that he's not that mature.
Thank you, Brian. You know, I do agree with you, by the way. If he really was that good, there'd be other interest.
I mean, with the quarterback shortages in Washington.
I mean, let's look what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. They called Mark Sanchez off the street, and he played in like 10 days.
Did he play?
He played.
He had a uniform. Yeah. Let me try Seth. Hi, Seth. You're on the fan.
Hi, fellas.
Hey.
Al, you mentioned the Canadian and the two new American football leagues, and you mentioned that Chad is probably going to head north to Canada. My question for you is, why hasn't the NFL become the fourth professional sport to have a developmental league in the U.S.? Because to me, the one and done is pretty much a handicap of the players, and putting in a G League for football makes a lot of sense because the college players aren't playing the same game.
That's a good question. Thank you, Seth.
Stupidity. It's an easy answer.
Stupidity for who?
From the NFL executive board for not continuing with the development of another league. I mean, the league gave us Kurt Warner. You know, so don't say that, you know, not having a league is good for the NFL. It cost them money, and they lost money on NFL Europe. That's the bottom line, okay? The owners don't want to lose money.
Right.
So
you would lose money on a development.
Right, you're going to lose
money.
You're
not going to make money on that.
But you can also find guys, once again, like Kurt Warner.
Yeah, but you're going to lose money.
You're going to lose money, and the owners don't want to lose money. That's the real reason.
Why would they want to lose money? For what? The stray player here and there that might make it?
But see, I talked to
a guy.
It's
not worth losing money.
I talked to a guy who was part of the World League and one of my close friends, George Coghill, who played in NFL Europe. And because he got a chance to play in NFL Europe, he's got a chance to get noticed by other teams. And he said the experience was great, and, you know, getting to know different parts of the world was great. But once again, it's a loser for the NFL as far as revenue goes. But for the best play, you know, we keep on talking about these quarterbacks having to deal with this or having to deal with that, you know, transitioning from college to the NFL. Well, you know what? The NFL doesn't care about that. They'll handle their situation the way that they handle their situation, and then everything else is the way it is because they don't want to shed a burden of the loss in revenue.
I know you're looking at the Niners. We definitely will get to that, but I feel like Big Sexy, I should probably just do the shame game and get it over with. I'm a little bit late on it already. Second time I have to do this. Do I just hit it? Can't do it this year.
I got it. I'll take care of it.
Oh, you'll take care of
it?
Yeah,
you ready?
I don't know why I stink at this year. Well, I know why I stunk at it last week because we were going for the win.
Yeah, we both
were. Well, I mean, if you didn't change at all, you still would have had to do the shame game.
I know. So I had no real choice. So, but now I put myself in a position where I'm going to have to do like the walk of shame in January. Yeah.
It's a whole quarter now, D-Mac. It just started.
I know. Well, I'm in last place. I'm the leader in the clubhouse to do this. All right. I'm ready. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Joe from all the way out in Grand Junction. I won King Super's fan football pick'em this week, and I get to shame D-Mac.
Mm.
All right, D-Mac, all repeat right. after me.
Joe.
Hey, what can I say? I'm D-Mac, and I'm a shock jock.
Hey, what can I say? I'm D-Mac. I'm a shock jock. I don't even mind saying
well
that.
Done.
Yeah,
well
thanks.
Done.
That is pretty funny. Did he come out with that himself?
Sure did.
The accusations that I'm a shock jock are, there was a time. I'll give you that. There definitely was a time. I look back on those good old KBPI days, Alfred. And I had a past even before those KBPI. You don't get that shock jock job at KBPI without having a shock jock past. Huh? Yeah. So
you got to have a few shocks to be a shock jock.
You got to be shocking. I did some shocking things there. We did some pretty shocking things there. I'm not going to lie.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe. And then I moved on to a KHOW and KOA and 760. I don't know if I was too shocking there. Mike Rosen hated me.
Really?
Oh, he.
Mike's pretty cool.
Not to me, he's not. Okay. And I would never call him cool, ever.
You don't like Mike, huh?
No, I definitely do not like Mike. He treated me like garbage.
Oh, well, it's so hard to like a guy who treats you like trash.
I generally, the way I feel about people is generally how they treat me. You treat me all right, I probably like you.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Even if you thought he was a turd and some of the things he did as a before meeting you were turd-like, you could forgive those things if he treated you well?
That's a good question. Probably.
You're just that shallow.
I'm just that shallow.
And you call
but
me
hey,
shallow.
But do me wrong. Do me wrong, and I've got I'll never forget it.
Right. I get it.
I got a long memory.
You know, when you play professional sports, you feel like people do you wrong all the time.
You know,
so you just kind of get used to, that's who they are.
You know what we should do, in all honesty? We should bring Emmanuel in here. We should hash things out. Because really, he's been the vast majority of criticisms I've had about Sanders have more or less gone, well, yeah, okay. But they've more or less gone away this year. So I don't know if I've had any bad things to really say about him this year. And in light of this particular injury, perhaps it's time to reflect a little bit. So, I'm fine with moving on. And I don't wish ill upon him. And I wasn't like doing some sort of happy dance, nor do I have some sort of magical powers where I can, have things happen to people. Somebody said that to me. Go, D-Mac, wow. You really got your way. I'm like, no, I didn't. Silly.
In what instance?
Oh, they just look at like a lot of people look at the issues I've had with Sanders as some sort of personal thing. But
you're saying you do not have voodoo dolls at home.
I do not have
voodoo
dolls.
You don't have
dolls.
A voodoo doll of
I
Adam
promise
Jones
you this.
Or A.J. Johnson or that
I
one
coach,
that baseball coach in Texas or who else do we have?
No, but here's what happens when you speak the truth. Sometimes the truth comes out. And if you say the truth like, hey, this was not a good hire, or this was not a guy who should be on the team. The reason why you say it isn't personal, there's reasons why you're saying it. I have no doubt if you look back in the history of between things with me and Emmanuel Sanders, the vast majority of personal things that have been said have been shots that he's had at me, not the other way around. But whatever. If he wanted to come in and we could sort of have a sit down and we could just talk. I think it'd be a good time, right? Because, during the season, it's a little awkward. I mean, he's going to have time on his hands. The one thing I know now, going through this surgery, Al, and sitting out for a bit, is you realize you get bored pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, and that the things you take for granted, like just jumping in the shower, doesn't happen really easy.
Oh, I know. All that stuff is such a pain. Like sleeping is a pain and putting your clothes on is a pain.
Having
and
to run to the restroom.
All that just sucks. It just is it's annoying. Anyways, the door is open. If Sanders wanted to come in here and we could just chit-chat about stuff, and I'm sure we could put the past behind us and move on, and hopefully, he's here for many, many years, right? Hopefully he gets healthy. He plays well next year. He gets a new contract and off and running. Right?
That's the plan.
That's a good plan. Who's the quarterback?
Do we need to go there right now?
No, we don't. This is The Drive on the Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Alan Dmac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
College process is crazy. Where do you go? How do you recruit? Who you get? Blah, 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 blah. It's insane. I liked when we had Mel Tucker on yesterday, and he was like, well, you know, we said if you couldn't participate or you couldn't help us beat Michigan, you weren't going to be on Ohio State.
That's the way it should be for good programs. But, you know,
but how do you know that when you're talking to a 16, 17-year-old kid?
Because you have history. Because you see how he moves. You know how he plays versus his competition. And then you look at the other kids who are committing to go to Michigan and see how those kids look. And you have to get the better of those two kids at that age.
How did Philip Lindsay get looked over?
What do you mean? Did not.
Didn't get invited to the combine. He didn't get drafted.
You're talking about from the NFL. Size. Not in college, though. As far as college goes, he was a highly recruited guy. The fact that he kept his commitment to the University of Colorado.
Was he highly recruited?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes, after he came out.
Where else besides CU was he recruited by?
I mean, the guy could have, I think he had anywhere between like 30 and 40 colleges where he could have.
Is that right? Played.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And that's why I say it's incredible that he kept his commitment to the University of Colorado.
When 30 to 40 colleges he could have chosen.
He was a great high school player.
Oh, no doubt about that, but I didn't know he had that many options.
Well, I mean, you know, when coaches start talking to you about, you know, who you look like to them and what you're going to be, it's always pie in the sky stuff. You know, like, hey, I remember a guy just like you, man, and you're going to be just like him here. I was talking to one of my good friends about his son, who was recruited heavily by another big school, and he said, you know, they promised him this and that, and he just couldn't believe it because it was so outlandish. And I was like, you know what? I would have took him up on it because the school was just such a good school. I probably would have taken the coach up on it, let the kid get an experience there, and hope that it worked out.
Why didn't he?
He just chose a different route. Mm. You know, but How do you know, and this is like the big, it's the last time you'll make a decision about where you play ball if you turn out to be as good as you think that you are. It's the last time. Because if you are as good as you think that you are and you go to that place and you play great, then you'll be part of the NFL draft. And once you're done with the NFL draft, you'll be a player on that team and then they'll have your rights for 6 years. And if you play great in those first 4 years, then you'll end up signing an extension because you want security and you'll be there for, call it, 8, 9, 10 years. And then you got another couple years to go play probably your last few years in the NFL where you want. That's the process.
I've seen your son, Chris, play, and like I don't understand why he couldn't play at the highest Division I level. I don't get it.
He had, you know, he had his deal. And once again, man, it's everybody's perspective. You know, when you don't play on the circuit, when you are in the basketball community, you don't get looked at.
Mm.
And he didn't play on the circuit until he was a senior. And by that time, you know, the interest wasn't there. But it doesn't mean that he can't play. It just means that.
Oh, for sure.
It's just a different process.
I'm looking at these guys, and I know how good he is. And I'm like, well,
that was
give me a break.
Yeah. I mean, that was a different time in our life. And you know, I got to tell you the part about the high school circuit that I never believed in is that you, as a parent, have to shell out so much money.
Oh, that's unbelievable. It's staggering.
I have a hard time believing that as parents, you have to put your kids in front of all of these coaches before you get the look. But if you play basketball, that's what it is. And then, you know, I have to say that, you know, I was not up on that part of the game because it's a racket.
Do you regret that? Do you wish you would have done something different?
Yeah, I do. I do, because I think that, like you said, he could have been part of that. But that's a whole different.
What would you have done differently?
I probably would have started playing them in those leagues and letting them travel around the country. I would.
That stuff, huh?
Man, seventh grade, man, you paying like $3,000-$4,000 in the summer for your kids to go play basketball. Man, that seems like extortion. it does to me. I mean, that's extortion because, you know, I got friends who have kids in soccer who pay between $8,000 and $12,000 to play on elite soccer teams every year in hopes of getting a scholarship. But when you do the math, you go, man, they've been playing on this team for 8 years. Call it an average price of $6,000. That's $48,000 right there.
Yeah, but that's just to have a chance for a coach to look at you.
I know, $48,000.
Never mind the scholarship.
Like, that's real money, dog.
You won't even have a chance to be a walk-on if you don't get seen.
It's crazy.
Seems crazy.
It seems like as a parent, man, you know, you just are, the athletic world does not afford you the same things that it did for me.
My son talked to a college coach baseball today. And
but
he
see,
just,
and football,
he,
football is the last bastion of not having to do anything except play in your high school games. It's the only one that's left.
Right.
If you play great for your high school,
that's all you got to do.
You can be a Division I player. But
as long as you have some measurables, that makes sense.
You play well and you do well. You don't have to go to all of the camps and everything. But now I'm finding
out that they have them, though. I mean, that's all over the place.
Now I'm finding out that the camps are just as important as your game film.
Well, you see kids who never play quarterback for their high school get Division I offers because they go to camps and they, you know, whatever. Yeah, football's changing, by the way. That is changing. And there's more and more 7-on-7 leagues and other types of camps for football. It is costly, though. And a lot of times it does feel like a racket. My son was talking to a baseball coach today, and there's a camp that we're considering maybe doing. And the coach just told him flat out, he goes, oh, yeah, this is just, it's just kind of a moneymaker. It's not really, like, we're not really looking at kids here.
I think we're just doing it. I think the whole youth sports thing, whoever started it, man, and whoever monetized it, you know, I look at those people almost as criminals.
Woo! Wow. What should they have done then?
You should have found a way to make it affordable for young people to go out and be athletic and
why?
It'd be great for these schools to stop taking away PE and all the other things that were free to us growing up so that you can have a better chance to involve more people in the process.
If you have parents that are willing to pay for it, why not open a business? That's why restaurants exist.
I hear you, buddy. I'm just saying I don't look at, you know, all those years that I coached and were around young people, I didn't charge those parents a red cent. Not one red cent. As a matter of fact, as a coach, what you end up doing is paying for those kids in precious moments where they don't have the money. So to think that somebody else is out there profiting on it, I almost cuss. I freaking hate it. So take it as you will.
Well said. This is Mark Schlereth.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
All right, so Emmanuel Sanders tears his Achilles tendon. He is out for the rest of the season. You know what? Take 2 minutes to boohoo, cry a little bit, and then get over it, because this is how the NFL operates. It is a league of next man up. And I'll tell you this, most everybody I know from myself to most of the guys I played with, got their opportunity when somebody else got hurt, and they seized that opportunity. And I'm looking at a guy like Tim Patrick. I'm looking at a guy like Deshaun Hamilton. They've been here the whole season. They have run the routes. They have practiced for Emmanuel Sanders when his ankle is sore or when he can't get out there and practice. They have done this time and time again. And now it's just your opportunity to seize your chance. I'll never forget the first time I ever got to start in the National Football League. I'm in a bus heading to the Vet Stadium against the number one defense in all the National Football League, the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm nervous as all get out. It's my first opportunity. Just came off IR, practiced for 1 week. I'm starting an NFL game, and Doug Williams walked down the bus, and he stopped at me. He said, the only difference between you and those guys is those guys have had a chance to make a name for themselves, and today is your opportunity to make a name for yourself. Went out there, got a game ball, and the next thing you know, I started for the next 12 years. That's the way it goes for Deshaun Hamilton. Guess what? The only difference between you and Emmanuel Sanders is he's had an opportunity to make a name for himself over all this course of time that he's played. And this weekend is your opportunity. Your opportunity to go to San Francisco and put yourself on the map. It's up to the other guys to make plays. It's up to them to lean on all those backs that they have that are healthy and create offensive opportunities and matchup issues for the San Francisco 49ers. And you do that, guess what? You're going to come away with a victory when you get your cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.